You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, it's Saturday evening, January the 14th. I'm your host, James Edwards. I may not sound like James Edwards, but I am the one and only with the flu. You know, it's very rare now in our 13th year of broadcasting that I can say I've done something that has never been done before on this program, but I think broadcasting at the height of my affliction is a first. I have not been sick in years, and I have got the nastiest, most violent flu you can imagine, and not just me, my wife, my children, everybody at the Edwards home. We put up a placard on the door, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." And it's been rough, but we're going to give it a go. I may die on the air tonight. It's sort of like the Cowboys wanted to die with their spurs on. I want to die with a microphone in my hand. But let me get through Sean Bergen first. And I'll tell you, this hit me on Wednesday, and I was seeing these headlines involving Donald Trump, Russian spies, and prostitutes in a posh Moscow hotel room. And I was thinking to myself, is this a fever dream I'm having? Surely it must be. I don't know what you do, ladies and gentlemen. You want to confirm or disprove a story, but I get right in touch with Sean Bergen. And that's where our conversation began. So, Sean, welcome back to the show. Your second time in as many weeks to kick off this new year.
Yes, thanks for having me, James, and I applaud your courage and your heroics in getting behind the mic, all things considered, with your flu and health. You're truly committed to the cause here. Yes, there was quite a flap.
Thank you.
That began last week, that basically it was a dossier that was compiled by a former British MI6 spy by the name of Christopher Steele, who was MI6's resident Russian expert for years before he went out and formed his own business. Now, he was being fed information, he said, by his very reliable contacts in Russia that they had some really crazy, incriminating evidence on Donald Trump and Melania were in a hotel room in Moscow where they contracted prostitutes to come in and urinate on a bed that had been previously slept in by Barack Obama and Michelle Obama because they hated them so much. This was the basis of these allegations, lies at the core. But Steele apparently fed this information or gave this information to the people he was working for at the time, Fusion GPS, which is a Washington, D.C.-based opposition research firm that's staffed by a former Wall Street Journal reporter. And those guys, Fusion GPS, were actually working for Republican opponents of Donald Trump at the time. They were working for the Republican establishment. And somehow that information, that dossier, started to get leaked out, ended up in the hands of guys like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, who we're told quickly turned it over to the FBI. And once that was seen, it was handed over to the CIA, where apparently we have some very, very politicized analysts at the CIA. The CIA is basically divided into spies or analysts. And a lot of these analysts have advanced degrees and PhDs. And for that reason, I mean, and as a result, they have spent most of their lives on college campuses and tend to be very left-leaning. I don't know if you remember the Bush years, but there was a lot of leaks coming out of the CIA about the Bush enhanced interrogation methods and unwarranted or warrantless surveillance. All of this being leaked by analysts at the CIA who are very, very politicized. The incoming CIA director Pompeo has got a mammoth job ahead of him in ferreting out a lot of these leftist analysts who are, you know, really decidedly aligned against our incoming President Donald Trump. Now, what's important to note here is that this information was unverifiable. Nobody anywhere had corroborated it. It had been making the rounds amongst senior White House officials and then made it into the hands of congressional staffers, and then it was leaked to various investigative journalists throughout the media beginning around August or September, and nobody really took the bait. A lot of people looked at this and said, this is completely whacked out there allegations. But there were a couple of news outlets who took the bait, and that was the left-wing blog BuzzFeed, and then, of course, CNN, who breathlessly reported these allegations on this, that they really felt that they finally had the dirt on Donald Trump. They had the information that was going to put Trump away. And the closest analogy I could put to was that the Dan Rather story, the hoax that Dan Rather fell for concerning George Bush's military service during Vietnam, which turned out to be a flat-out lie. It sank Dan Rather. It sank his producer, Mary Mapes. The great investigative journalist, Cheryl Atkinson, was showed the same information over at CBS, and she dismissed it out of hand. She said, there's nothing authentic about this document. This was not typed back in the 1960s. It looked like my 9-year-old daughter typed it on her computer yesterday. But because Dan Rather and Mary Mapes so hated George Bush, they ran with that story because they just desperately wanted to believe that it was true. Same holds true for BuzzFeed. And CNN went out with a story that, by all accounts now, on its face, appears to be an unabashed disinformation campaign on the part of Russian agents who put this stuff in the hands of Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele now, from what I understand, is in hiding. BuzzFeed has been completely embarrassed, as was CNN. And we saw that yesterday, or not yesterday, we saw that last week with that press conference, when CNN's Jim Acosta, you know, repeatedly stood there and harangued Donald Trump, demanding that Trump allow him to get a question. And Trump, which is, if there's one thing that I love about Donald Trump more than anything else, it's the way he loves to slap around the news media, because they really have it coming. We yes. finally have a commander-in-chief who has the guts and the backbone to just, you know, to just go right back at these guys, which is what Trump did at that his first press conference as the president-elect, with everybody in the world watching. Donald Trump just stuck it to CNN and said, "You are fake news," and that's exactly what they are, and that's what the mainstream media has been for decades: fake news. They hide behind some imaginary veil of objectivity, like they are the arbiters of truth. And all they are really is liberal propagandists. That's what they have continually revealed themselves to be. And they're shameless in this regard, and all of them so lacking in self-awareness that it actually rises to the level of insanity. This is the kind of self-awareness, lack of self-awareness, that you see with crazy people. And these are the folks who are running our mainstream media. And Trump, to his credit, finally has the guts to go back at these guys. And this whole story, this whole Russian allegation, has been completely debunked and has blown up in the mainstream media's face. And those who ran it, particularly BuzzFeed and CNN, look completely like fools now as a result.
Hold on right there. Sean Bergen, the one and only. My God, is this guy good. We'll be back with more right after this.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks. Well, if anyone ever wonders why we're so high on Sean Burke, and he reminds you every time he comes on this broadcast, I don't know of anyone other than maybe Sam Bushman, Bergen and Bushman, who could break down a story with that level of precision. And this is a pretty big story. Pat Buchanan wrote about it in his recent column, just to basically echo what Sean said a moment ago. This is what Buchanan writes in breaking down the story. During the primaries, anti-Trump Republicans hired an ex-spy to do oppo research on Trump, i.e. to dig up dirt on him. The spy contacted the Russians. They told him that Trump, at a Moscow hotel in 2013, had engaged in depraved behavior, that they had the films to blackmail him, and that Trump's aides had been colluding with them. When Trump won the nomination in Cleveland last summer, Democrats got the dossier and began shopping it around to the mainstream media. Some sought to substantiate the allegations, but none could. So none of them published the charges. In December, a British diplomat gave the dossier to Senator John McCain, who personally turned it over to James Comey of the FBI. On January 7th, Director of National Intelligence James Clapper and his colleagues at the NSA, CIA, and FBI decided that the new president needed to know about the dossier. They provided him with a two-page synopsis. Once CNN learned that Trump had been briefed, the cable news network reported on the unpublished dossier without going into the lurid details. However, BuzzFeed released all 35 pages, which was when the story exploded. And of course, Sean, that takes us up to Donald Trump's first press conference as president-elect. Fake news, he roared, the work of sick people. I hope we see more of candidate Donald Trump in the White House going forward. I particularly remember him threatening at one point during the primaries to seek to loosen the libel laws that protect the establishment media. Do you think that that might be something he'll consider, as apparently Trump's enemies are looking for any way to turn him into the modern-day Richard Nixon?
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how that plays out moving forward once he does get into the White House. It's clear that they're not giving up, but what's also clear is that Trump is winning. He's winning this war against CNN. He's winning this war against the liberal media. They are so flustered by this man because he just refuses to abide by the rules that the liberal media has set for him. They're beside themselves. They are in such a tizzy over this that a whole group of them are actually holding a little seminar at NYU, New York University, this coming Wednesday, a panel discussion headlined by little Brian Stelter over at CNN and David Remnick from New Yorker magazine. And they're getting together, these poor little liberal snowflakes, scratching their heads, trying to devise a strategy on how to contend with Donald Trump. Trump, through his brilliant use, masterful use of social media, has just proven and demonstrated that he doesn't have to go through their filter. He will go around them. He will go over them. And at times, he will barrel right through them like a locomotive and knock them on their collective butts. And it is really just beautiful to watch that this guy – and I'll tell you what else Donald Trump does when he does that. He emboldens all of his supporters. He galvanizes all those Trump voters around the country and gives them license now to do the very same thing. These people are going to meet their coworkers, they're going to meet their friends, they're going to meet their family, and they don't have to engage them anymore. They can literally dismiss them out of hand and stand by and say, just watch how unbelievably effective this man is in the presidency. When you look at the cabinet that he has assembled and the way that they have handled these congressional hearings over the last week, all of them were masterful. They tried to paint Jeff Sessions as like a Klan member. Sessions handled it with aplomb. They tried to go after Tillerson. Tillerson wasn't having it. They tried to go after Ben Carson. Ben Carson, was brilliant in the way he handled these Democrat attacks. They're all doing their damnedest to delegitimize Trump coming into the presidency. The current administration, the Obama administration, is setting landmines for him left and right. And the public, the American people, the voters, are able to recognize this now. They're all waking up to the fact that that this is – it's really just unseemly to watch grown men behave in this way. I mean, we had the Georgia Congressman John Lewis, who was, the giant of the civil rights movement, just today or yesterday, I believe, say that he does not see the Trump presidency as legitimate. Well, Trump doesn't take this laying down. He goes right back at John Lewis and says, why don't you go back to your district, that crime-infested district of yours that includes parts of Atlanta, Georgia – and go clean it up. These guys do nothing but talk. They are full of empty rhetoric, meaningless speeches. And when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of actually getting things done and getting things accomplished, they're nowhere. They can't do anything. They can't get anything done. And that's why I'm really heartened by the fact that Trump is filling his cabinet with these men and women who have made incredible achievements out in the private sector and out in the real world. When you look at Obama's administration and the 45 czars that he appointed, they all came from college campuses and think tanks, and they were career politicians, and they were a bunch of losers who were grounded in the theoretical. They can write something up on a blackboard that looks really impressive to a college freshman or some slack-jawed college kid who just rolled out of bed after doing a half a dozen bong hits, and it looks like, a stroke of brilliance to them. When you take these theories and try to put them into practical application, they fail miserably. A classic example of that would be the Obamacare debacle, where they couldn't even put together the damn website so that people could sign up. I mean, the level of ineptitude across the board is astonishing, but boy, they sure sound good when they make those speeches.
Sean Bergen doing all the heavy lifting, and it couldn't come on a more opportune night for yours truly, and just knocking it out of the park, one grand slam after another. I'm so glad you mentioned John Lewis, because this, again, right on the heels of his performance at the press conference, Donald Trump appeared to be candidate Trump again, and that is the guy, that is the persona that got him elected into the White House. But John Lewis, now, of course, in Georgia, originally from Alabama, and Trump is exactly right. Go back into your districts, go back into your current state or your home state and clean it up. If you look at Selma, Alabama, of course, iconic for its role in the so-called civil rights movement. If you look at Selma, Alabama today, and Hiroshima today, you would think, my God, we lost the war. And yeah. Enough's enough. Enough's enough. And this does give me a lot of hope, Sean, that even though I'm sure he will moderate himself somewhat from the campaign trail, that we may get the genuine article, Donald Trump. He's given us a couple of indicators this week that he may be more like the guy we voted for than a candidate that goes in and typically begins to rein himself in once he assumes the Oval Office.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, he's not going to have to talk about it so much. He's going to just be able to stand by and point at his results. Watch what this guy does during the first 100 days in office. I mean, I think he's going to move at lightning speed. We're going to see the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. We're going to see a new pro-growth tax package being rolled out. You're going to see the economy take off. You're already seeing that with the return of consumer confidence. Small business now more enthusiastic than they've been at any time in the last 35 years. Stock market hovering around 20,000 right now. I mean, the economy, the private sector in this country has been waiting 8 long years now to be unleashed. And that's exactly what he's going to do with our domestic energy, with repatriating, $1 trillion of money that's been banked offshore, with unleashing small business, with the repeal and replacement of Obamacare, with undoing all of these regulations that have been put out by the EPA and other government agencies, where you have non-elected bureaucrats acting like czars and strangling the U.S. economy with their boot heel on the throat of entrepreneurship. I think we are poised right now to see a level of economic growth that we have not been witness to probably since the onset of the Industrial Revolution.
Hold on right there. I know we only had you for 2 seconds tonight, but I got one follow-up question and then one question from the audience.
Sure.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
New York Democratic Senator Charles Schumer would appear to agree with many of Donald Trump's supporters that disclosure of an opposition research dossier containing lurid allegations against the president-elect is an act of retaliation by the intelligence community for his frequent criticism of the CIA. Let me tell you, you take on the intelligence community, they have 6 ways from Sunday of getting back at you, the Senate Minority Leader told MSNBC host Rachel Maddow on January 3rd, more than a week before the dossier was made public. Schumer and Maddow were discussing Trump's public comments disagreeing with the intelligence report claiming that the Russian government had intervened in the 2016 presidential election and complaining that his intelligence briefing on the matter had been delayed in order to manipulate public opinion. Even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's really being dumb to do this, Schumer contended. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. During his January 11th press conference, President-elect Trump once again threatened to impose a major border tax on these companies that are leaving and getting away with murder. Commentator Matt Welch observes that Trump's views regarding trade are largely in harmony with those of Hillary Clinton, who threatened on the campaign trail that companies who walk out on America are going to pay a price, and if they shift jobs overseas, we're going to make them give back the tax breaks they received here at home, because we can take that money and put it to work investing in the communities that are left behind.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, Sean Bergen breaking down for us here the fake news story involving Donald Trump, CNN, BuzzFeed, Russia, prostitutes, bedwetting, and more. Yes, you heard it right, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's going on here. This question came in from Bob in Indiana, and this, I guess, Sean, kind of dovetails with something that I had asked earlier about Trump potentially loosening the libel laws and maybe going after the protection that the press has to basically say anything, do anything they want, no matter how obviously libelous it is. I'm a listener, really enjoy your show. Question for Sean, should Donald Trump revoke CNN's White House press credentials? Sean, you know, this was something that obviously he did off and on throughout his primary and I believe even his general election campaign to any number of outlets, including the Washington Post and others. He would revoke their press credentials and not give them access to his rallies. Do you think that's something that we may see him do at the White House?
I think that for sure we're going to see some real changes in that White House briefing room. We have heard this from Stephen Bannon. We've heard this from Sean Spicer, his press secretary. We heard this of, from others on the Trump transition team. Ron Priebus has talked about this, that you know, that we're going to see some changes in how things are done in the White House briefing room, you know, itself. Now, how that's going to extend out to the press beyond that, the White House press corps, I don't know. I don't know how far the reach the man has. I mean, you talk about libel laws as it relates to the Fourth Estate. This is probably something that will end up being taken up by the Supreme Court. So I don't know that he's going to take those kinds of bold steps very early on in his administration, but I think he's going to start by sending a very clear message to these media dinosaurs who have been occupying the first front rows in that White House press briefing room that they no longer hold the levers of power. They're not the ones who are in charge. The president is in charge. And I think he's really going to turn the tables on these guys in a way where they're going to start really questioning their own. That's kind of tough to say. I don't know if they're going to start questioning their tactics, because I don't think a lot of these guys are capable of any kind of self-examination. I don't think they're capable of any kind of self-reflection where they look at themselves in the mirror and say, you know what? Maybe our way of doing things is not really working out too well. Maybe this whole liberal bias thing is, maybe we need to start taking a look at our own ideology and how, you know, we view the world through that lens. I don't know if they're going to have that kind of an epiphany, because I don't think they're capable of it, to be honest with you. I think most of them have lost the ability to think for themselves. That's if they ever really had it. I think that in large part they're a bunch of very psychologically weak people who just want to be well-liked. They get into these Beltway cocktail circuits and Berkeley cocktail circuits and Manhattan Upper West Side party groups, and you know, they just want to be accepted. It's like they're like, you know, reliving junior high school all over again. So I think I don't know you know, just how pervasive and how far Trump's reach is with regard to that. But I think he's going to send – he's already sending them a very clear message.
Yes.
That your days the, you know, the days of doing things according to your parameters are over. That is not going to apply to this administration. And I think it's really beautiful to see. We are in the midst of a political revolution here, and I think a lot of people now, a lot of intellectuals and pundits and media analysts are now waking up to that fact, that this has turned into a movement in this country. There is an entire swath of the United States citizenry that is sick and tired of being lectured to by these pompous, arrogant asses we see in the mainstream media, and also the whores out in Hollywood, as I call them, because you know, they're putting out these crazy these videos, and now there's another one now with this "I Will Survive," and Yeah, they just look more and more ridiculous, and more people are copping on to the fact that, hey, you're an actor, you're a singer, you're a performer. You're there to entertain me. You're not here to lecture me. I can turn you off at any time. I can refuse to go to your movies. I can quit buying your albums. I'm not going to show up at your concerts. And because these Hollywood types, these entertainment types, are just surrounded by yes men, you know, who never ever hear the word no. They're so completely out of touch with the public that they're supposed to be serving, with their fans, that they don't realize that they're just self-destructing and really just putting a nail in the coffins of their career.
Well, and you know, what's interesting, though, is that for all of the ones who promised us that they would be leaving if Donald Trump beat Hillary, do you know if the first one has got on a plane yet, Sean?
Not one. And, you know, just yet another example of the empty rhetoric that these guys do. They are all talk and they are no action. And as a result, they don't know what it is to get results. They're not results oriented. They're not focused on results. They're not, they think that just because they say something, that's enough. You know, all they need to do is demonstrate that they care. And that's why liberalism in and of itself is such a cowardly, weak ideology. They'll take anybody, and the only qualification for admittance into that group is to say, I really care. And that's, well, so what? I mean, so what? You know, I mean, when do we look at the results of these, there is no action. It's just a lot of empty talk.
Well, you said it, my friend, and yes, the celebrities are disgusting. The press is even more disgusting. I mean, it's a dead heat. It's a dog fight, but they're right there, one behind the other. And the press, of course, yes, objectivity, responsible journalism was passé a long, long time ago. They now see their jobs as being the enforcers of political correctness, as I've said so many times. But I'll tell you, these Trump press briefings are going to get mighty entertaining, I think. I hope going forward, and I really hope that he smacks him down and continues to do what we saw this week. Of course, you know, you were on with us last week, Sean, to talk about the kidnapping and torture up in Chicago. That's one story that's just gone. That's gone now. That's over and done with. It didn't even last a week.
That didn't even last 36 hours, that story. And it was there, and then it was gone, and there was no legs to it, and they couldn't wait for that thing to disappear. They were shamed into coverage to begin with because the initial coverage was driven so heavily by social media. I mean, that's really where that video made its first appearance, was on Facebook, and when horrified people saw that on social media, you know, they sent it all around. But, I haven't been on Facebook in 2 weeks because I've been banned from Facebook. My Facebook page was disabled because I got into a back and forth with some Planned Parenthood zealot who decided to report me to Facebook, and they took my page down.
Another feather in your hat, Sean. Yes. You've got a veritable headdress now.
Oh, I'm making all the right enemies, James.
You got that right. Yeah. Hey, listen, brother. Thank you so much for coming in tonight, 2 weeks in a row, no less, and breaking down the news as only you can. We love you.
Well, you know, the other thing I'm looking forward to, James, is that we're going to be in Washington, D.C. next week, all of us together, reporting from the presidential inaugural, which I think is going to be a fantastic night.
I can't wait for it. We shove out middle of next week, so I'll see you there, and Bushman will be there, and some of our other friends, and Washington, D.C., here we come from Memphis, from Salt Lake, from New York. All points converge in the district.
Yes. Feel well. Recover quickly. Get back on your feet. We've got important work to do.
We sure do. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. I'll be in touch.
You got it. Sean Bergen, ladies and gentlemen, our intrepid political cesspool correspondent. He's with us to break down breaking news stories, offer opinion analysis and commentary. And he's a pro. He's the professional. He actually did this for a living as a television news reporter up in the New York, New Jersey area in the belly of the beast in the biggest market in the world. Of course, that was until he said that perhaps it would be a good thing if young black males had father figures. And that was a bridge too far and cost him his position. But now he's with us. And we're better for it. And we'll be seeing Sean in a few days, and we can't wait for that. He said now at the top of the show, what was it, that I was heroic, courageous, coming into the studio tonight with the flu? I tell you, I feel like Charles Krauthammer. Every time I say something, I have to take a staggered breath and catch my wind and go into the next sentence. I don't know if that's heroic or stupid and reckless, but maybe I'm one of the two or somewhere in the middle between those two poles. But the show must go on. I just hope I can make it to the end of this one. A lot has been going on behind the scenes. I'll catch you up on that. We got Sam Bushman at the top of the next hour. And I'm going to fill you in. We wanted to get Sean in at the very top of the show tonight to break down this story about Trump, which we've been covering so far. But when I come back, I'm going to catch you up. What we normally do at the top of a show is use the first segment to go through some announcements, some banter. Eddie and Keith are not in the studio tonight. I didn't want to kill them. You know, Eddie and Keith are a little longer in the tooth than yours truly, and this has just about put me under. Eddie and Keith are out tonight. I didn't want to get them sick, but what we normally do in the first segment, we're going to do back and some interesting stuff going on behind the scenes. Pay attention to this next segment. It's something pretty interesting that I want to share with my audience. No secrets from this audience. We're all family here. Stay through the break and come back and listen to what I have to say. We'll be right back.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking, because since I was little I was taught that smoking was wrong. And in school, from a very young age, I was taught that smoking was not acceptable.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think smoking, for everybody, no matter what you say, leads to other things, because it just opens the door wider and wider.
Other studies have found that if you don't smoke in high school, you probably never will.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it, because the way I was raised has helped, and having the faith in God while I was raised and knowing that there would always be somebody there for me has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Second show of the new year, February. Well, it's not February yet, is it? It's January the 14th. January the 14th. Today is my parents' anniversary. So happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. I'm really glad y'all got married. It worked out really good for me. You know, I have the best parents in the world. There was something on Twitter today. You know, we're still relatively new to Twitter. And it said, what I would tell my 15-year-old self. And what I would tell my 15-year-old self, if I could go back and talk to him, is don't do anything differently. You are going to have a wonderful life. And I really mean it. And it was that way from the day that I was born. I was born into a loving home with wonderful parents and grandparents who raised me to be a son of God and a son of the South, to be proud of who we were, conservative, wholesome, God-fearing. I just couldn't imagine my upbringing being any better, any more loving. And you know, that's the kind of husband and father I try to be. To my family and to my wife and to my children, and it's just getting passed on to the next generation, to the best of my ability, of course. So anyway, I'm very thankful for the life that they gave me and the role that they played, obviously the incredible role that they played in making me who I am today. Okay, so, you know, one good thing about having the flu is I can work on my Barry White voice, you know what I'm saying, baby. Change.org. Here's just a couple of quick hits. Change.org. You know Change.org. You Change.org. You can start a petition and you can promote it through social media. And if it gets a lot of people to sign it, sometimes it makes some news. Well, I found out that there is a petition at Change.org that has listed the top 500 Nazi Twitter accounts. And wouldn't you know it, we're placed up there in the top half of that 500, and I've only been on Twitter for, what, 3 or 4 months? And I don't tweet prolifically. I do a little bit here and there. But I'm by no means one of these guys who's on there doing multiple tweets every hour, as some do. But so we're in the top 500, according to Change.org, of Nazi Twitter accounts that need to be banned. Well, they could do me a favor and ban me. That'd just be one less thing on my plate. Hey, I do want to tell you this. Last week was a busy week. We had intended to spend most of the show making plans for the year to come. It was going to be the final of our celebratory season that begins at the end of October with Halloween and our anniversary of going on the air through Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve, etc. First show of the new year kind of rounds out what is typically our most festive of the on-air weeks of the year. We couldn't do that last week because we had to cover in depth the Chicago kidnapping and torture. But what I was going to say, and I do believe I asked both Keith and Eddie this, some resolutions, some things they would want to see the show accomplish, and I've got some of my own that I'd like to share with you. We are going to be putting in some improvements to our website. We have already, as you may have noticed, this actually happened right around Christmas time, maybe a little bit before that even. We have already updated our blog. Now, one thing I don't like about websites is when somebody gets too cute or too clever by half and it becomes user unfriendly. In other words, when people totally redo a website to such an extent that you can't navigate it as well anymore because it's so radically different. Well, we didn't do that. It's still basically the exact same setup. We just kind of changed the color scheme, added a few improvements, but we have already remade our blog, which I think looks pretty good, if I do say so myself. We are going to do some very minor tweaks to our main website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Another thing I want to do here in relatively short order, should have been done already, truth be known, but I want to work on getting some new ads to play during our rotation during the commercial break, and also some new bumps and some new liner music. We'll change that out. I think we've had the same stuff for at least a couple of years now, so we're going to change that up just to give your ears a little something different to listen to. So we're going to work on getting some fresh ad spots and some new liner music and some bumps taking us in and out of the commercial breaks. We've also got some special projects that we're going to be unveiling. Sean Bergen let one out of the bag in no uncertain terms in the last segment. We will be going to Washington, D.C. next week. God willing and Jesus tarries, if I can make it there, ladies and gentlemen, we will be in Washington next week. Next Saturday night, we'll be broadcasting live from Washington. But I'll be there for the inauguration to see Donald Trump sworn in as President of the United States. And so we're going to have a very festive show next week when we break down for you exactly what it was like to be there. We were there at the RNC, at the Republican National Convention. We were there with credentials, no less. We were there at the rally in Memphis, the press credentialing that shocked the establishment press to its core. Back in February of last year, that's been almost a year now. Well, we're not going to hang our program on past laurels. No. It was a great 2016, but onward and upward. We never dial it back in the political cesspool. It's only bigger and better. And so this is going to be a pretty big one to kick this year off, I think you could say, when we're in Washington, D.C. to watch Donald Trump sworn in next week. And we will be, that's Friday, of course, of next week. And then on Saturday, a week from tonight, we'll be on the air. Tell you all about it, what that experience was like, and who knows who'll end up on the show. You know, when we did the show from Cleveland at the RNC, we had everybody on. We had Joe Piscopo, Ann Coulter, half a dozen Republican members of Congress, a lot of others I can't even remember. Well, might be another show like that next week. You got to tune in to find out, though. But we will be there. Hey, here's another thing. So I got this email. Send me an email and let me know what you think I should do about this. Now, you know my position on the media. My position is typically just say no. I don't need the press. The press needs me more than I need them at this point. And unless it's something that's live, unrehearsed, and uncensored, live radio or television, I'm not very interested. But I did get this email in from a production company that is making a documentary series for one of the biggest cable channels in the world. And I'm not going to tell you the channel, but you would be surprised. It's one of the most well-known channels on the TV dial. And so it's a 4-part documentary series on terrorism. Now, there's a red flag already. When the media wants me to comment on terrorism, do you think they want my objective opinion, or do you think they want me to be the terrorist? To play the part of the terrorist. It's going to examine the ways in which terrorism has evolved from 9/11 to the present day. The email that I'm reading from now informs me that this will be a high-profile flagship series intended to frame the current state of terrorism in a way that has never been done before. We will be interviewing a range of leaders in government, law enforcement, the military, academia, and the intelligence community. As host of the political cesspool, we would love to talk to you about the other side of the news, your stand against political centralization, and the role that leaderless resistance does or doesn't play in a movement. Please get back to us at your earliest opportunity. So I wrote back. It took me a couple of days. I finally wrote back. And they actually emailed me again while I was waiting to write back. And I wrote back, I appreciate your inquiry and might be interested in participating if a mutually beneficial arrangement can be made. I'm certainly sure I could add diversity of opinion that would otherwise be lacking from your lineup. In addition to 12 years in radio, I have a fair amount of experience with television, both live and taped. And I do, however, decline most requests. Can you provide me with these details, specifically a little more clarity on exactly what I would be expected to discuss, the date, length, and location of the interviews, any concessions in terms of compensation, per diem, etc., that might be offered to me, and who will be the hostess of the series? Thanks again, James. To which the most recent reply has come in. Dear James, thank you so much for getting back to me. We understand that your experience in the media is vast, and we're thrilled that you're considering participating. In answer to your question, some of the topics we would like for you to address include what the alternative right movement does and does not stand for, how it has grown in this country and why, and what are your thoughts about the case of Dylann Roof, who has just been sentenced to death. We would like to arrange for the interview the week of February 6th. We would be willing to travel to you. We'd also like to get B-roll film of your radio show as part of the production. We typically do not compensate for interviews. However, we would be willing to discuss a licensing fee for photos and or video materials. We would love to have a conversation with you. We can answer more questions via a phone call. Hope this helps. All right, so that, you know everything I know, ladies and gentlemen. I got an email. I replied to it, and that was the reply from them. Should I go on TV again? We've been burned by TV in the past, haven't we? One thing that comes to mind immediately is the reality show out of Sweden where we were going to be featured in every single episode of the series. We ended up getting 30 seconds total in the whole production. Was it because I answered the questions too well? I didn't come across as the caricature. I'm not off the charts. Would that be the case here? Would I waste my time again? Or would it be something much more sinister? Would they try to creatively edit me in a way that makes me sympathetic to someone like Dylan Roof, which I'm certainly not? Send me an email. Let me know. I'd like to hear the audience's take on what I should do. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to be your voice on the radio and wherever my travels take me. Let me know what you think. We'll be back.